Welcome back, accomplices. It's Easter weekend, which means that we have been at this for almost a year now. If you guys remember back, Easter was April 9th last year. And our very first episode, we took you back to Easter of 1975 to the home of the deadliest family massacre in American history when James Rupert fatally shot 11 members of his family. I don't know about you, but that seems like an Easter dinner I wouldn't want to be invited to.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to attend that one. So, Tara, I know you don't celebrate Easter anymore, but is there anything you did as a kid that you enjoyed doing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My family never really celebrated like the Christian version of Easter, but we did have like the commercialized holiday, of course. Every year we would dye the Easter eggs like the night before Easter. For like the bunny, aka my parents, for them to hide them around the house, which is funny because like, so I always wanted to find the most Easter eggs because of my competitive nature, but I don't really like eggs. So it was like really weird. It was like just like dyed hard boiled eggs that my parents hid around the house, which I'm like, okay, like we didn't get the fancy like eggs filled with like candy and money like other kids did, but
the fancy ones,
that was totally fine. Yeah,
the fancy good stuff.
Plastic ones. Yeah, yeah, no, we got the hard boiled ones. I guess like it kind of worked out because my sister would eat the whites and I would eat the yolks, but like egg whites are, it's like a texture thing. Like I hate it. Like, ugh, gross. Like my mom for Thanksgiving, she makes like the best of eggs, but like she'll like let me like eat some of the filling because I will not eat. Like, I'll just like lick the filling out and then like feed the egg white to like the dog or something. Yeah, we didn't get them fancy eggs, so sorry, I went on like a little bit of like a tangent. The other thing that would happen is like my grandma would come over. My parents did like the Easter baskets. I were from like the bunny. My grandma would come over and have Easter baskets for us too, with like stuffed animals and stuff like that. And then we did have like the like quote unquote like traditional ham dinner, and my mom would always make her strawberry pie, which we are going over there for dinner tonight. We're doing like a brisket and stuff. My dad's smoking a brisket for Easter, because we're actually recording this on Easter.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Yeah, happy Easter, everybody. But so I actually made a strawberry pie this year because it was just like a childhood memory. I remember, yeah, I loved it. Did you guys like do anything today, or do you have any plans like later?
So we've just been hanging out. We went to brunch earlier at a family member's house. And then there's a giant egg hunt for the kids. They filled up huge baskets worth of eggs.
Oh, nice.
But they had fun. Yeah, there was like 10 kids, 12 kids. There's a lot of kids.
Oh, wow.
Way too many for my preference.
And you work with kids, you're like, that's too much.
Yeah.
We need to stop having kids, guys.
But it was fun. They had a lot of fun. They love doing that. One tradition that we kind of have is we tend not to fill Easter baskets with like candy and stuff like that for the kids. We usually do activity baskets instead. Like one year we got the kids new rain boots and we just like filled it all up with, they all got like a new fishing pole, and then boots were filled with like tackle and stuff like that. And then I know one year we've done like art baskets before as well. And so that's fun. The kids still really enjoy it, and they get so much freaking candy every time else. And even on Easter still, they manage to somehow still get a whole store's worth of candy. So
oh shit. Oh, I really love that idea that you guys do. And I think I remember you like showing me a picture or something, or sending me, maybe you posted it on Snapchat or something, of like all of their things lined up when you did the boots and the fishing poles. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really fun one.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that idea. It's like the little holidays like this that make me excited to like have kids of my own someday, but like yeah. Holy shit. No, I just got a notification that Gypsy Rose left her husband.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, she has an OnlyFans account. You mean to tell me this girl served 7 years of a 10-year sentence in prison and she couldn't even let, what, she got out to like, what, end of December? Like, right after Christmas. It's been 3 months. That's like Nelson Mandela. He served all them years in prison and then he gets out and like 6 months later, he like leaves his wife. He's like, I can't handle this. So just send me back to prison. Like, oh.
It's funny. Nah, I'd rather not.
Her husband looks like he could be her brother.
I thought that too. I'm like, they look awfully similar. Yeah. He looked similar to her mom.
Her mom.
I'm like,
Yeah. I've like read somewhere that like it was her brother.
It was her mom?
Like, no, it was like her half brother. But it was like totally debunked. I was like, I did like a whole bunch of digging. Anyways, sorry. Yeah, I just saw that pop up and I was like, oh, holy shit. She left her husband? What? I clicked on it. Oh, dude, there's a picture of her with Pete Davidson. Says Pete Davidson moves fast. It's photoshopped, people. It's photoshopped. Pete Davidson's not dating Gypsy Rose. Calm down.
Oh, that's funny.
From Kim to Gypsy Rose. All right. Well, Shayna, you found a story for us this week. So what do you got for us, lady?
Oh, yes. So with it being Easter, I was feeling festive. But the story I have for you this week has nothing to do with cute little bunnies that like to hide eggs. It is, however, about the Bunny Man. So there is a bridge on Colchester Road in Fairfax County, Virginia. An insane asylum was built deep in the wilderness of a nearby town called Clifton. After the Civil War, it's going to be my can't say while stoned word this week, I guess.
Can't say civil this weekend. Also, I just, an insane asylum, like I already see where this is going. In the wilderness, nearby a town. Insane asylum, wilderness, near a town. All right.
After the Civil War, the population started to grow in Fairfax County. As the population increased, the fears of living near an insane asylum arose, and eventually, in 1904, a petition was signed by the populace of the county to have the inmates transferred by bus to another facility known as the Lorton Prison.
I mean, sorry. I'm pretty so blind.
What's funny?
First you got the insane asylum, wilderness, small town, and then a prison transfer?
Yep.
Okay. makes for a great murder, doesn't it?
It's got all the good plots.
All right, sorry, continue.
On this transport, the bus swerved and crashed. The guards and some of the inmates died.
Oh, didn't see that coming.
Nobody called that or anything. Oh. 10 inmates escaped into the woods, and after several exhausting months of manhunts, 8 of them were apprehended. 2 of the inmates, Marcus Walster and Douglas Griffin, vanished into the woods. They managed to evade the authorities long enough to cause the manhunts to be called off. The police figured if they're not dead by now, they would be soon. So, soon after the crash, skinned rabbits were being found and sometimes hanging on the Colchester overpass bridge. Eventually, the body of Marcus Walster was found hanging from the overpass. The police suspected Douglas Griffin for the crime, and he became known as the Bunny Man. Douglas Griffin was convicted of murdering his family on Easter Sunday, which is what landed him in the asylum in the first place. Then, one Halloween night, a group of teenagers were hanging under the bridge, and they were found the next day, gutted and hanging from the bridge, just like the rabbits.
Oh my god. Teenagers? A group of them?
I know, it's scary itself. Some versions of the story state that the authorities caught up with Griffin and while pursuing him, he was hit by a train. Another variation stated that the authorities found Griffin's dead body lying on the train tracks that run over the Colchester Overpass. Over the years, children were swapping stories about a man in a bunny suit chasing kids through the woods with a hatchet. So, this story is an urban legend for many reasons. The first...
What? Wait a second. The bunny man's not even real?
It's not even real.
Oh my god.
I know, I was very hopeful. I was like, the bunny man?
That's not fair.
I know.
I mean... then people didn't die, but...
I haven't gotten to the part yet that the main part of it was inspired by. But...
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, you're good. Some of the reasons. First, no one has been able to find any record that there was ever an asylum in Clifton. Another is that 1904 was still awfully early for buses to be on the roads. I kind of just briefly looked it up. One thing said buses were... created in 1885, so that would have been before 1904, but it wasn't like the normal bus you would think. Those buses weren't on the road until 1925, which if you go with the 1925, then obviously in 1904 there would not one of those buses. There's also no police reports confirming that there have ever been people found hanging dead on this notorious bridge. Also, from my research, I also couldn't confirm that this Douglas Griffin was even a real person, because anytime I tried looking him up, it obviously just came back to the Bunny Man legend. So I don't even know if he was a real person. But if he was a real person, he wasn't landed in this asylum that was never in Clifton in the first place. So it's probably all just kind of made up. Sorry, what were you going to ask?
The other guy, Marcus, did you find anything on him at all? Or?
I actually did not look him up.
No.
Most of the stories I found just mentioned Douglas Griffin. There was one of the last ones, like before I just kind of gave up and wrote it, mentioned Marcus was one of the ones that escaped. So kind of just went with that to make a cooler story. I'm not going to lie, but I didn't look up Marcus. But yeah, I'm going to say Douglas Griffin wasn't even a real guy. It just kind of all got made up.
Hmm. Okay.
This next little story in here did actually happen and could have played a big part in shaping the legend into what it is today. In October 1970, a couple was sitting in their parked car on a turnout in a nearby field when a man dressed in a bunny suit came out of the bushes wielding an axe and shouting out, quote, "You're on private property and I have your tag number," end quote.
Anybody who's parked in private property in Deer Park, that's literally how that goes too. People just come out wielding weapons. Get off my grass!
Damn hooligans, get off my yard.
Go on now, get. I'm like, yeah, that happened to me when I was in high school, too. Like, somebody's property, smoking weed, just somebody shows up with a shotgun. Sorry, go on.
The man then tossed the axe through the right passenger front window of the car and then skipped off back into the dark woods. Another report was made less than 2 weeks later by a security guard for a construction site. He reported to police that he saw a young male appearing to be in his 20s, dressed in a bunny suit, carrying an axe. As he approached this bunny man, the man struck a wooden support with his axe on a new house being built and shouted out, quote, "All you people trespass around here. If you don't get out of here, I'm going to bust you on the head," end quote. Which is funny because it made me think of a little bunny Fufu hopping through the forest, picking up the field mice and bopping them on the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this was an actual, like, police report. So total, there were over 50 reports of sightings of the bunny man in the 70s. Like, actual, like, police reportings, not just, oh, yeah, this guy is out there. Even to this day, people are still claiming to have caught sightings of a man in a bunny suit near the overpass. Locals have a saying, quote, "On Halloween night, don't go near that bridge in Clifton or you could get snuffed out by the bunny man," end quote. That is my story. Really? It was very short.
Yeah.
I'm very festive.
I'm really bummed. Like, that first part was just an urban legend.
I know. It was kind of a disappointing. Like, he didn't even kill anybody. I mean, in the legend, yeah. He killed lots of
God
people.
God damn it, killed Dozer.
And bunnies. Right? I think that was the same guy. Disappointment all around. Yeah. Kind of anticlimactic for 2 weeks in a row there.
So, like, why do you think there were, like you said, there were a lot of, like, reported sightings in the 70s. Like, why do you think that, as opposed to, like, any other time? I mean, from 1904 to 1970 is a pretty big gap.
So, one of the articles I found, they, police and locals kind of just assumed that it was because of the expanding of homes and factories and such, because that in the 70s that was happening a lot in that town. And so the open land was obviously disappearing, and that's why they assumed the whole "all you people trespass around here" stuff came about. And then from the attacks in the 70s, I'm assuming is kind of just where the urban legend kind of took off, because, oh, now it's a bunny man. And then they just kind of made up the whole story about this big scary guy who's going to chase you around.
Yeah. Okay.
And even kill you. But there was, again, no police reports of anyone ever being hung off that bridge. And I don't think any deaths in general around the bridge. So yeah, I think that's where it all stemmed from, was the attacks, and they just kind of ran wild with that.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Definitely makes sense, yeah. Then. I was just wondering, it was like all those police reports in the 70s and nothing any other time.
Like, just like you'd go see in the mall at Easter time with your little tiny innocent children, except for this one had an axe and would chase you. It's a very nice festive story. It's one to share with your children.
I love it. Anyways, so because we all know how much I love facts, when I found out it was an urban legend, I hopped on Google and dug up some facts for us. I'm sure most of you already know what an urban legend is, but for those of you that don't, an urban legend is a humorous or horrific story or piece of information circulated as though it is true, especially one claiming to involve someone vaguely related or known to the teller. It's also known as a myth or tale in a modern genre of folklore. It often consists of fictional stories associated with superstitions, ghosts, demons, cryptids, other fear-generating narrative elements, and urban legends are often rooted in local history and popular culture. Some urban legends included, some urban legends include, but are not limited to, the ankle-slicing car thief, which...
Ooh, sounds delightful.
Yeah, or also known as the man under the car. It's an urban legend that tells of a driver that keeps hearing noises under their car when they're driving. When they step out of the car to investigate, their ankles get sliced open with a knife. And while they are rolling around on the ground in pain, the car thief emerges from underneath the car and then steals the car.
Nice. That does not sound pleasant.
I don't know if you ever saw that movie Hostel. Did you watch it? Yeah. Okay. That movie, like, I can watch, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I can watch, like, all of the Friday the 13th, which obviously those aren't, like, super gory because they're so old. But, you know, like, I can watch, like, these, like, slasher, slice and dice, like, gory movies. But there was something about watching somebody's, like, just, like, their Achilles tendon get,
yeah,
it makes me cringe.
Achilles.
Yeah.
Get,
I was like,
just the thought of it. Oh, God. My hair.
Yeah, I'm like, makes it gross. Sorry.
Gross.
Another urban legend is Baby Train. It's an urban legend which claims that a small town had an unusually high birth rate because a train would pass through the town at 5 a.m. and blow its whistle, waking up all the residents. And since it was too late to go back to sleep and too early to get up, couples would just have sex, and this resulted in a mini baby boom, which I don't give a shit what wakes me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. If I don't have to be up, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, no,
but with my job, I'm usually up around 5 anyways, like 5:30. Like, that's
same.
Like, where do you guys work that you don't need to be up at 5 a.m.? Right. Probably one of them, like, jobs where you have to work on the weekends, though.
Oh, man.
But it got me thinking, like, there were a bunch of urban legends that they used to tell us kids. Like, do you remember any of those, like, legends that we used to just, like, tell us kids?
Yeah. Like saying Bloody Mary 3 times into a mirror to have her appear and kill you. Except for now I say that hoping that a drink appears in my hand.
Oh, it's funny that you should say that, because sometimes I say Candyman 3 times in the mirror hoping that edibles appear.
I gotta try that one.
I think the urban legend that really stuck with me and makes me check my backseat before getting into my car is the killer in the backseat, like also known as the high beams. So it's that common, like, car urban legend that there's a woman who's driving and being followed by a strange car. The guy who's, like, pursuing her, like, keeps flashing his high beams, and he's just, like, tailgates her and sometimes, like, even tries to, like, ram her vehicle. And when she finally makes it home, like, she realizes that the driver was trying to warn her that there was a man. He's, like, a murderer, rapist, like, had escaped from a mental institution, and he was just hiding in her backseat. And so each time the man would, like, sit up to attack her, the driver behind would, like, use his high beams to scare the guy, so he would, like, duck down. Like, that is a legitimate fear of mine.
I feel it. I'm always paranoid that there is a person in my backseat, not just because of the legend, just because, like, regular paranoia. And then sometimes I look up in the mirror and I freak myself out when I see eyes staring back at me, but it's just my children.
That freaked me out. Like, your kids are kind of creepy. I'm just kidding, I love them. fuck your kids.
Oh, you don't know how many times I want to say that to parents at pickup at work, man. fuck your kids. Yo, kids. But I can't, because I'm a professional.
Sometimes I want to say it at work, and I can't because I'm also a professional, which sometimes I...
Who chose this?
Wonder. Yeah, how did I get here? Anyways, so that's all we have for you guys this week. Whether you're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus or the pagan holiday of renewal and rebirth, we hope you have a very happy Easter.
Thank you so much for listening this week. Please join us next week as Tara presents a case for us. As always, we love hearing from you guys. You can email us at thickthighsmurdervibes@gmail.com and also find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Until next week. Bye.
Bye. Oh, man, fuck yo kids.
Yo kids. Yo kids.